good, faithful, amen, always with us. Praise God, we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? Amen, for his glory, for his goodness today. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you stand this morning, turn to Proverbs 4:23. We looked at this last week. We're going to look at a little different aspect of this today and talk about our heart, and actually not our heart, because if you're a believer saved by grace, you've had a heart change, right? So we're just going to talk about this. I want to teach this today so that we can understand and recognize people that we deal with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that we'll have a clearer understanding of what's going on in their life so that we can help them. Amen? And, you know, God wants us to minister to people. How many know that? So true. What does he want us to minister? He wants us to minister God's grace, the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring what? The issues of life. Turn to someone this morning and say, I no longer have issues. Really? Well, you know what? In your spirit, you don't. In your born-again spirit, you no longer have an issue. In fact, it's settled. Praise God. Now, in your soulish realm, you might still be working on me, right? But in your heart, God is the healer of the heart. He said, a broken spirit and a contrite heart I will no wise cast out. God is the healer of broken hearts. Wow. Amen. So he said, out of this heart flows the issues. So we're to guard it. Amen? Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn to somebody this morning and said, I've got a great heart today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because why? Because you're here this morning. You have a heart for Jesus. Amen. That's a great heart. You have a heart for God. Amen. And so the heart is the place of action, the place of issues. Life things flow out of our heart, the Bible says. We know the soul is the mind, will, and emotion, and it acts as a filter between the spirit and the heart of man. It's kind of that filter thing, you know, that we have to deal with and have to keep clean by the word of God. Hallelujah. You have to keep lined up by the word of God. That word penetrates that heart and mind thing. Amen. And it divides between it, praise God, the soul and the spirit. And so that word is so vital in our life. And we allow the word to transform our soul into what we have already in the spirit. Praise God. And it flows out of our heart. So people who do not know grace and God's unconditional love can end up having an orphan spirit or an orphan heart. They can have an orphan spirit or an orphan heart. The world today is full of people that have an orphan heart. In fact, so many that are incarcerated today in prison are people that have an orphan heart. They grew up in the society, first of all, not really having a father or knowing who their father is, earthly, or knowing what it is to be a man, how to act like a man, how to respond as a man, how to be a man. And so they've grown up in a society that is fatherless, or their father left them, or maybe their father even deceased at a young age, and they were really left to themselves and to their own devices, and they ended up having what I call an orphan's heart. And the orphan's heart really is something that's not new. It actually took place over in Genesis, when Adam, in so much became an orphan because he was issued out of the Garden of Eden. And we understand that, you know, when that took place, you know, he chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the law, by the way. The tree of life is always Jesus. Some people still swing, they have the anointing to swing between the two trees, the law, the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. God wants you living in the tree of life. He doesn't want you living out of the law. He wants you living in the tree of life. And so ever since Adam and Eve were banned from the garden, an orphan spirit really permeated the earth. People have, for the most part, many have an orphan spirit. If they are not believers today, and even some believers, because they've been taught the law much more than they've been taught grace, have adopted an orphan spirit and not even known it. Wow. By an orphan, I'm referring to a sense of abandonment, loneliness, alienation, isolation. And almost immediately after the fall of man, the fruit of the orphan spirit resulted in jealousy. Accumulating in Cain, murdering his brother Abel. Really? Why? Because God the Father didn't receive Cain's offering. Jealousy arose. Why? Because of abandonment, because of this orphan spirit. Are y'all still with me today? Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? So much of our nuclear family has been disposed of in the world today, and so many people grow up without the sense of knowing what a father is. Some of you have been impacted by that. You didn't really know who your father was, or maybe you had a father and he was an abandoned, absentee father, and so many people grow up in that area. But I want to tell you this morning, God is the healer of the orphan spirit. He's the healer of the orphan heart. Amen? God desires that people walk in the freedom that Jesus has for them. You know, there are churches that are filled with pastors and leaders who have an orphan heart. They haven't been exposed to God's grace and God's unconditional love, and so they teach from the platform of what? The law instead of God's grace and love. Because the healer of the orphan heart is being exposed to God's unconditional love for them. Hallelujah. Wow. So, you know, so many people are destroyed, you know, because of that. An orphan heart is always driven to succeed and always driven to perform because it never was good enough for their father. I've heard so many men over the years tell me, it was never good enough for my dad. Whatever I did never was good enough for my dad. And it's adopted into a lot of our churches. When I was first born again, when I was first saved, you know, and I was called into the ministry as a very young man. I was 17 years old. I'm still young. Thank you, honey. One amen out of all of you. Amen. We went out to lunch yesterday, and it was kind of, it was a great fun time, you know, and the little lady, she was an Oriental lady, and she was asking, she said, you know, do we have any seniors here? You know, and anybody over what age was it? Over 62. Anybody over 62? And she's standing next to me, you know, and people were raising their hands, and I raised my hand. She looked at me, she said, you're not 62? And I said, oh, yes, I am. I said, yeah, I'm 63, you know. Oh, no. She thought I was trying to get away with something. And I really wasn't. Amen. But so much of that orphan's heart is based on performance and pleasing. Richard, come up here a second, buddy. Yeah, Richard, come on up here. Praise God. I love you, man. Give Richard a good hand this morning. Amen. Stand right here. Stand right here. So I want to kind of demonstrate with Richard what I'm talking about here, because, you know, when I was first born again, first saved, first thing they told me, Richard, you know what they told me? Now that you're born again and saved, you know, and called to preach, you want to have a great anointing. Absolutely. I thought, yes. Amen. I want a great anointing. And in order to have a great anointing, you've got to at least spend every day, at least an hour in prayer every day with the Lord. Whoa, really? Well, maybe I'll spend 2 hours a day. So, you know, they begin to put stuff on me. And so so they said, you got to pray at least an hour a day. Hang on to that, brother. Would you? You better grab it from the bottom down here. And then you'll have a great anointing. And by the way, you've got to read the Bible through the entire year. The entire year, you got to make it through the Bible, and your anointing would increase even more, right? So you got to make it through the Bible, and your anointing will increase any even more. How you doing, brother? Yeah, same thing happened to me. And not only that, man, you know what? Not only will your anointing increase more, and you know, and I'm thinking, wow, I don't know when you guys were, but when I was saved, I got born again. I was just totally awesome. When I became a believer, it was so awesome in my life. I mean, it was like, whoa, light came on. Whoa, you know, it was just great. I wanted to do anything I could. And so they said, well, you know, you got to pray at least an hour a day. You know, that's when that book came out, Larry Lee, Couldn't You Tarry More Than an Hour? You know, I was absorbed in that. Man, ooh, this is awesome. Hallelujah. Man, we all got to pray. We got nothing wrong with prayer. Then you got to read your Bible. And if you really want to be anointed, you got to fast. You got to fast, man. You got to, thank you, brother. You got to fast. If you really want to be anointed, you got to, how you doing, man? You got to fast. Come on, get in there, brother. Get that fasting down. You got to fast. You know, you got to fast. You're back okay? Are you all right? All right. No, he can't sit down. You got to, sitting down, that's not permitted because, you know, you got to always be, and then what you got to do, you got to go out once a week and street witness. You can never be a pastor unless you know how to witness, and you got to go out once a week and you got a street witness. You know? Here you go, brother. How you doing? Good. You got this? Here, just hang on. I got it for you. I got it for you. Just hang on. How you doing?
Are you done?
No. No, I just started. Hang on a second. We're gonna let him. I'm gonna tell you something. Are you struggling yet?
I'm struggling.
Buddy, I did too. I can't, but you're doing good, man. Look at that. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, man. You can do it. You know, get a few more on there. Oh, and besides that, you know, if you really want to be anointed, you got to at least teach a Sunday school every day. I ain't got to put any more on him than he can bear. Go ahead and set that down, brother. Give him a... And I tell you, for you, thank you, man. You can be seen. You can leave those up. For years in ministry, that's the way I perform. You know, I call all-night prayer meetings. I do all these things because I wanted to please my Father. You know, I wanted to make sure my Father was pleased with me. And, you know, when you're in a denomination, I wanted to add some more chairs on everybody. Richard couldn't stand it. Because when you're in a denomination, you know, they have, you know, you only succeed if your church grows. And they would send out a publication every month of how many got saved, how many got sanctified, how many received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how many members were taken in. You know, and you get that, and you look at it, and you know, on a sometimes 120 churches, you're down there about 90. And these other guys up the top, and you're going, whoa. You know, and it makes you feel like, wow, I've got to do more. I'm just not doing enough. And then if you do enough, you know, once a year they'll send you to a convention and give you a little reward. Everybody stand up and fastest growing church in North Carolina, yay. Fastest growing church in Florida, yay. Fastest growing church in Maine, yay. All of it based on performance. And people with a spirit of orphan have that mentality that they got to perform. Listen, folks, it's not about our performance. It's about his performance. God called you to a place of rest not performance. We move out of the spirit now and not function out of the law. We are no longer under the law to function out of the law. We are under the spirit. We are spirit-led, not law-driven. Amen. And so we live underneath the spirit leading us within our hearts and within our lives. Amen. But an orphan spirit, you know, one of the things about an orphan spirit, when it rises up in people and they don't understand, I can tell a lot by people just how they respond and act. An orphan spirit never likes authority, because they had no authority in their life. Their authority left them. And even on the job, I've seen guys that, you know, to their supervisor, they just didn't like him at all. Why was part of that? And I want you to understand why people operate like they do. Because so much of that is they've had an orphan spirit. But when you're a son, it's different than an orphan. Amen? The son honors his father because he loves him and he knows the love that the father has for him. But an orphan doesn't honor his father because he felt like he's been disabandoned. Hello? And so therefore, a lot of times what rises up is a spirit of rebellion within them. I really believe, you know, the prodigal son, he had that spirit within him. He left the father, took all that he had, left. And if you look at the focus of the prodigal, it's all about me. Give me my inheritance. And then the Bible says when he was out there slopping the pigs, he came to himself and said, hey, I'll be a slave in my father's house. Just make me a servant there. And he came back, and the Bible says the father saw him a long way off. Well, don't you know he knew where he was all the time? He was looking for him. Amen. He didn't make him a slave. He brought him into full sonship again. God wants you to understand the full sonship that he has for you and I. He doesn't want you to be an orphan feeling abandoned, because orphans do stupid things. Orphans, the focus, I'm going to give you some things this morning. Y'all still with me here? Y'all still getting this at all? Hello? I want to give you some traits of an orphan spirit, so you'll just happen to understand, okay? And so, first of all, the orphan spirit operates out of insecurity. It operates out of insecurity. And so you know people that are so insecure with themselves today. They just can't seem to find that security. Why? Because their heart has not been healed completely, and they don't understand God's grace and God's sonship. Amen? And so they're always insecure about things. Do you love me? Circle yes or no. They're always insecure. They always think, well, somebody's talking about me. So what? I said, so what? They're going to talk about you. If they talk about you, they're going to talk about somebody else. So what? Let them talk. Who's your security, in people or in Jesus? Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. So the spirit of sonship unctions and functions out of love and acceptance. Those with an orphan spirit are constantly battling jealousy and insecurity. Whoa. No, that's not you. That's not who you are in Jesus today. Are you listening to me? You're not battling jealousy. When somebody gets blessed, you are blessed. You're blessed for them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed for you. You're not jealous like, you know, women down south are. Their expression down south, any southern women here, forgive me. Their expression down south is, love your hair, hate your guts. Y'all didn't get that. You'll get that later. So, listen, God's not given you a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of insecurity. You're a whole son and daughter in Jesus Christ. Amen? But you understand, if you're out there in the world and you're dealing with people who have such insecurity, you can chase it back right here to this thing right here. I guarantee you, it is just what it is. So, those with an orphan spirit are insecure. They even have a hard time, you know, hearing a biological or spiritual father praise their siblings or co-leaders, but those with the spirit of sonship are so secure in the father's love and favor that they are content to serve in any capacity needed. Oh, that's good. Whether or not they are in charge or not, They're just happy that God loves them, and they're not looking for any place, but looking to serve Jesus. Oh, that is so good. Turn to somebody and say, he's preached. No, you better not say that. I'm teasing. The orphan spirit. Number two, the orphan spirit is jealous of the success of their brothers or sisters. The mature son is committed to the success of his brothers or sisters. Whoa, what a difference. What a difference. Amen. Those with an orphan heart or spirit are happy, or those with an orphan spirit are happy when their brother fails because it makes them look good or feel better. On the other hand, those with the spirit of sonship joyfully commit themselves to serve, celebrate, and help their brother succeed. Man, that's the greatest thing, man, is making somebody else's dream come true. Amen. You know, it's all about, so many people, it's all about their dream. I want to make people's dreams come true. I want to see their dreams explode in their heart and life. I want to see things happen in their life. I want to see them successful. I want to see them blessed. I want to see them successfully doing things in their life. Amen. Man, that's the spirit of grace. Praise God. But you know, some people want to hold you back. Hello? What's going on in their life? They've just got this orphan thing happening. They don't understand God's grace and love. Wow. People with sonship don't work for human accolades. Oh, yeah, hear what I'm saying. People with sonship don't work for human accolades. They are so blessed, and they know God sees them where they are. They're happy right where they are. They don't need a human applause or a pat on the back. They're just saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, they do it out of a deep sense of love and affirmation of God's love for them. That's why they're there. That's why they're serving. That's why they're doing it. Why? So somebody can get up and say, whoa, you did a great job. No. Because God sees them. He knows, he's saying, well done, my good and faithful one. Amen? The orphan spirit serves God to earn the Father's love. The mature son serves God out of a sense of divine acceptance and favor. So, along those lines, those with an orphan spirit or heart are constantly striving and trying to earn the Father's love through accomplishment in ministry or career. Those with the spirit of sonship already know they're accepted. How many know you're accepted today? Aren't you glad? Praise God, man. You don't have to earn it any longer. He earned it because you couldn't. Amen. So you just walk in his favor, walk in his acceptance. Amen. Just walk in his love. The orphan heart tries to medicate its deep internal alienation through physical stimulation. The mature son walks in the joy and the presence of the Lord for comfort. Whoa. You know, people with that orphan thing, man, that's what they do. They're always trying to medicate that deep internal need I have. Hello? Wow. Are y'all still listening to me this morning? Their sense of alienation, loneliness, and lack of self-worth through constant work, going from one relationship to the next, physical gratification in a life, becomes narcissism and self-indulgence. You ever seen anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Relationship to relationship. Never happy, never finding peace, never finding joy. You know anybody like that? Hello? However, the more they indulge, the more addicted they become, and the larger the hole becomes in their heart. Because only the love of the Father can fulfill that. Only God, it's only God's love, guys. You know, people are looking for love in all the wrong places, like the song says. It's only God's love that can fill that void in your heart. Nothing wrong with having a relationship, but you want to have a good, healthy relationship. You know, people say, well, I found my better half. No, you better find your better whole. Your better whole person in Christ. Don't be looking for a half of a person when God wants you to find a whole person. Don't settle for something that, you know, you just think, well, hallelujah. They love Jesus. Well, really? You spend a day with them and they love Jesus. Well, thank God. Maybe she'd spend a year with them courting. Courting. Amen. Dating, I guess. It. Whatever. So important. Y'all still listening to me this morning? So, those walking in sonship bask in the presence and love of God and practice the joy of the Lord continually as their source of strength because they understand that grounding their security and self-life in anything other than God is like trying to build a house on sinking sand. Man, pastor, the orphan heart, the orphan spirit is driven by the need for success. The spirit leads the mature son into calling and mission. Calling and mission. So many attempts to accomplish great things to satisfy the deep yearning in their heart for their father's approval. Their result is then being driven to succeed instead of being led by the Spirit. God's favor is upon you, church. God's favor opens the doors. You don't have to push or promote anybody but Jesus. You don't have to go up to Andrew Womack or Joseph Prince or anybody else and promote yourself. Amen. God is the promoter of your life and of your heart. If he wants your promoting, he'll open the door. If not, be content where you are. Because godliness and contentment is great gain. Amen. I know so many self-promoters. I see it all through. You know, maybe I should think differently. No, I shouldn't think differently. I have never been and never will be a self-promoter. I can't do that. Now, I'll go on Facebook and write things out there, but I'm not going to promote myself. I want to promote Jesus. I'm not going to go up to Andrew and say, hey, Andrew, you know what? I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm all this and I'm all that. No, I'm not going to do that. I know somebody that has gone to all these big ministries around, takes pictures with themselves with all these leaders, posted all over the place, like, wow. Be a Jesus promoter. Be a Jesus promoter. God will lift you up in due season. Amen. You can relax in that. You don't have to sweat about it and wonder, oh, I wonder if that one, why is he getting ahead? Why is he next to Jesus and I'm not? Why is he sitting right there at Jesus' right hand and I'm way down here on the end of the table? What's up with him? Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. Y'all still with me this morning? All right. I got a few more. Let me give you a few more. The orphan spirit uses people as objects to fulfill their goals. Mature sons serve people to bless the kingdom. Wow. Those with an orphan spirit tend to use people as objects to accomplish their goals. Whenever we objectify people, we manipulate them with words, threats, and anything necessary to have your way and control them. Mature people who walk in sonship don't use people. They serve and release people to fulfill their destiny in Christ. Amen. They're to serve, man. The orphan spirit has anger and fits of rage. The spirit of sonship rests in the Father's ability to control the future. Whoa! Hello? So those with an orphan spirit have issues with controlling their anger, fits of rage, and forms of manipulation because they feel they must control others and their circumstances in order to fulfill their goals. This is because they lack the trust necessary in their Heavenly Father to guide them and control their future. Turn to somebody and say, God's got you. So chill, baby. Just chill. God's got your future. You know, don't worry about your biological clock. God's got you. You can be 90 and still have a baby if you want to. You may not want to, but you could. Amen. All right. So those who walk in sonship and the Father's rest have ceased from their own works so their Father can have his way in their lives. Hebrews 4:10. Let me give you a little scripture here. Can you give me two more? One or two more? Look at this. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from what? His works. That's what you do when you're living in grace. Amen? The orphan spirit is always in competition with others. That's why I talked about that little page we get out each month. You know, this church here, that church, they're always in competition. I thought, why don't you just tear that thing up? That is so stupid. The spirit of sonship is always blessing others. Those with an orphan spirit are always trying to outdo others in their church, in their family, in their business, in the denomination they're in, because they receive their identity through being better than everyone else. Those who walk in sonship are constantly seeing how they can bless others, since they already have the affirmation of God's love in their souls and hearts. They want to freely share his love with others because they are free. The orphan spirit lacks self-esteem. The spirit of sonship walks in divine love and acceptance and knows who he is in Jesus. Those with an orphan spirit have a hard time loving and accepting themselves. Those walking in sonship are filled with a sense of divine love, acceptance that enables them to walk confidently in joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we are. The orphan spirit receives its primary identity through material possessions, physical appearance, and activities. The spirit of sonship is grounded in the Son and the Father's affirmation. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, guys? Hallelujah. I mean, that. So those who walk in sonship are so grounded in divine Father's affirmation, they can be satisfied serving in the background and can celebrate the success and attention others receive. The void in their soul has been fulfilled with God's unconditional love as a father. Wow. You know what the world's waiting for? I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. What is the world waiting for? Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? What do we cry? Abba, Father. Hallelujah. There in Romans it says, we cry Abba. We have Daddy, Father. We've received the spirit of sonship. In Romans it says, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for people to see in our hearts all that God has provided by his grace. The world is waiting, saying, where is the sons of God? Amen? It's groaning, amen? All of creation is groaning for the manifestation that we have in our hearts and life today, because the Father has healed our hearts and delivered us from that spirit of orphanage. Amen? Wow. Man. And you know what? I want to tell you something. Generation curses, and I know people that teach on that stuff, and, you know, good people. I mean, good people. I know they're good people. You know, but they teach on that stuff, and they just, you know, tell people what's because, you know, and they put in their mind, and they can't really get the victory because they got in their mind that they've been cursed and their father's been cursed, and, you know, that's the way it is. And that's a bunch of baloney. Greek word, baloney. It doesn't matter where your father has been, what he's done, what's happened to your ancestral line. You got a different ancestral line. You came through Jesus Christ. You are a brand new creation in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 4. Look at Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13, 14. And so all of this stuff really equates back. And so many people teach on this today. They'll tell people, well, you've got an orphan spirit. Not if you're born again and believe in God. You're a believer. God has given you a new heart. If you believe it, hello, look at this. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, having become what? A curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come from where? Up on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 8 and 9. Acts 15, verse 8 and 9. You are now blessed, not cursed. Thank you for your enthusiasm. When you turn on that TBN and somebody's on there saying, "Now I want to tell you, you're under generational curse because you know what your dad did. If you're having this, and this happen in your life, don't you receive it and don't you believe it." That is not grace. That is the law of condemnation coming at you. You don't receive it. You have a brand new heart. How do you know you have a brand new heart? How do you get a brand new heart? You get a brand new heart by believing, by having faith. What? So God, who knows the heart? What does he know? Acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit. Talking about the Gentiles here, usins. Just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them. Do what? Purifying their hearts. How? How? Right believing leads to what? Right living. Praise God. Your heart is purified by faith. Therefore, you no longer have to have an orphan's heart. You don't have to live under the curse unless you believe and want to. Well, because you have been set free by believing in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Amen. And so those who are out there that are still struggling in those areas, you've got some good news to take and to share with them now, saying, listen, you don't have to be like your daddy was because God's died for you and you have a new daddy and his name is Jesus. Brand new heart transformation. Don't have to act stupid any longer. Because you know what? People believe it, it gets into their heart, and when they do it, they act it out. So what you're believing, what your faith is relying on, what you're hearing taught, what you're hearing preached, and there's nothing wrong with listening to all these different teachers and preachers, but you better know grace before you do, because you'll get trapped up, and you'll start swinging from tree to tree. You'll be in the tree of life one moment, and then you'll find yourself back here in the law of performance the next. And you can't hang on to the chairs. You'll try. It's like juggling. I never could juggle. Can anybody juggle in here? Andrew, and my son-in-law juggles. I remember that. He is a good juggler. He'll entertain us some Sunday. Come up here, Andrew, and do your thing. I couldn't do that. You know, but that's what people try to do. They try to juggle. They go back under the law. They'll hear teaching for a while, you know, and then they'll start believing what they hear. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're in performance-based, in performance mode. And it's really difficult for all of us who really love the Lord at times, because we do have the spirit of do at times. But really, we're human beings, not human doings. Being is different. Being, you just function in who you are. Doing, you apply effort to it. Man, you might be here today. It's the first time you ever heard this. I don't know. But I want to tell you, God is the healer of your heart. In grace, he can give you such a love for people. He can give you such a love for your husband. By grace, are y'all women listening to me out there? By grace, you women, you know, you men can just, God can give you such a love for your wife. She's the most beautiful, attractive thing you've ever seen. Hello? Come on, somebody. By grace, I mean, that's what grace does. It's like, wow, thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's grace is so awesome in our lives. If we allow it to be applied in our lives, if we allow this filter to line up with God's word, and you don't have to be drifting out there with an orphan's heart somewhere. You know, how many know people that I spoke about are like that today? How many know people like that? You now know how to minister to them. You know what's going on with them. You can love them. God can change their heart through the love that you show them. Amen. You know, a lot of my family struggle with this thing right here. Really, you know, I lost my dad at 17. We were talking about this morning. I had a messed up family. I didn't know as a kid where I was going to live the next day. We moved all the place. There was no security there. You know, my family was not Christian. They were just heathen. They just went by the whim, you know. And so God had to deal a lot of my heart God had to change and deal with me. And when I got into, you know, being born again and a believer, man, this stuff right here about killed me. Holly, I tell you, it about killed me, about put me under the grave. I got so sick in Florida, I thought I was going to die. I went to like 19 doctors, and they couldn't find out what was going on with me. I thought I was going to die. I tell you what was going on with me is performance, being stressed out of my gourd, trying to make something happen in the kingdom. And finally, you know, I was delivered from that. Thank God, because of God's grace. You know, would I love to have 5,000 people show up today? Absolutely. Can I make that happen? No. Am I going to stress about it? No. Why would I love that? So they could hear the grace message. That's it. Amen. Praise God. Would I love to, you know, just be, you know, blowing at it? Yes, absolutely. But you know what? I'm going to relax in Jesus because it's Jesus that does it. I'm just going to try to have a heart for people and love on people and walk in God's grace. Because when you get over on that other tree, man, it'll wear you out. It's exhausting. That tree of knowledge of good and evil is just exhausting. Amen. You need to be resting in your mind. Be resting in your mind. Put your mind at rest. Quit it. Stop it. You can. I can't. You can. I can't. That's the enemy talking to you. Stand this morning. You can. God's got rest for you. God's good. Give him the praise. Amen. He's good. God's got rest. You know? Listen. Aaron, run off this message some way. I want you to run this message off on CDs and if we can. Because I want people to get this. I'm not going to charge you anything for it. I don't charge anything back there for anything I have. So, you know, maybe I should, but I don't. But I want you to get this message, and I want you to give it to people. I want them to experience God's unconditional, fatherly love for them so that they don't have to go through and deal with these things anymore, that they can have a whole heart, that they can love out of Jesus instead of out of themselves. When you love out of Jesus, it's all different, isn't it? Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Amen. Father, you know, what I want you to do right now is just receive the love he has for you. You may not even know how to experience that, but I'm telling you, if you just open up your heart through praise right now, his love will just come into your life. He'll make you the man that God wants you to be. He'll make you the woman that God wants you to be. He'll make you the teenager that God wants you to be. You'll walk in love towards people. You'll walk in love towards people of authority. You'll honor people. You'll have such a love for your children, such a love for others. How he loves us so. How he loves you right now. Just let that love soak into your heart. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard this teaching, it's kind of a lights come on and say, wow, I haven't received all of that. Man, all that love is there for you today. It's all there for you today. You don't have to leave out of here not experiencing that total grace in your life. Amen. Just raise your hands up a little higher this morning. Sing it, guys. How he loves us so. Amen. Sing it.
He's jealous for me.
He's jealous for me. Amen.
He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath.
Oh, we love you today, Lord. Thank you for your love for us this morning. Hallelujah. I receive it in my heart today, Lord.
When all of a sudden I'm unaware
of
these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Yes, they are, Lord.
And oh, how he loves us so.
How he loves. loves you today, church.
How he loves us.
How he loves you today.
How he loves us.
You're beautiful. Amen. You're beautiful. Praise the Lord. So beautiful to him.
Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
One more time.
Oh,
sing it again.
How he loves, and we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace, he
ocean. We're all drowning.
We're all sinking.
Yes, we are, Lord. Hallelujah.
And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns silently inside of my chest. Oh, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think of
when I think of. Get it. We'll have it ran off here and take it home. But I want you to turn to five people today and say, I'm so thankful. God is the healer of my heart. I no longer have an orphan's heart, but I have a son's heart and a daughter's heart. Would you do that this morning before you're dismissed? God bless you. You are loved today. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoa.